welcome everyone to Jump in Tucson. My name is Ed Ackerley, and with me is my good friend Sixto Molina. Sixto and I go way back about 5 years. Say hello, Sixto.
Good morning, Ed.
So
Thank you.
Sixto, how did you get associated with that good old Ed Ackerley and Ackerley Advertising?
Well, I got a phone call from a friend, a mutual friend, Jesse Lugo, who said, "Hey, Ed's running for mayor, and we'd like you to be part of the campaign." And so I said, "Well, let me meet with Ed." So we met, and I liked what you had to say, and here we are.
You were a fantastic campaign chair, and I appreciate getting to know you and all the good things that you've taught me over the last few years. Really appreciate it. One of the things that Sixto and I discovered during the run for mayor was the stories that people and organizations and individuals would come up and talk to us about their story of why they came to Tucson and why they're here and the good things that are happening. And one of those great stories is obviously the, I call it the elephant in the room, the University of Arizona in the middle of the city. It's a vibrant academic institution, but it's also an economic driver for the city. And so many things that happen at the University of Arizona affect so many other people. So when I talked to Pam Scott, Vice President of the University, about the Wonder series, so Mondays is Wonder and the University of Arizona, she readily agreed to give me some good context. So we have one of those people here with us today. Welcome, Amy Wheeler.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So you're an assistant clinical professor of audiology at the U of A Speech, Language, and Hearing Sciences. Tell us a little bit about your journey, a little bit about how you kind of got interested in this area and how you got to the U of A a couple of years ago.
Sure. So kind of full circle journey for me. I came to Tucson as a student. I got offered an internship here. Been here about 15, 16 years. Started taking my own students from U of A at a private ENT practice in 2016. Really got engaged with the optimism of the students there from U of A and decided to move to teaching. So I've been there at the U of A for 2 years now.
People often ask me, you know, what do you teach at the University of Arizona? And my dad joke answer is always students. But it is amazing to have the young, vibrant students that we teach at the U of A be such a they keep me on my toes. I've been there for 33 years now. They keep me on my toes. It sure is a joy to teach them, isn't it?
Oh, they're such a great positive influence. If you're feeling cynical at all, just start working with some students and turn it around for you.
One of the things I make my students do is to send thank you notes, and you know, I try to get them in the if someone comes in and speaks or there's something that happens, I get them to send thank you notes. But every once in a while, I'll get a thank you note from a student about how their experience in my class or the experience in the ad team or whatever we're doing, how it's kind of changed their life trajectory. And I think that's a really important thing that we do at the U of A is give that opportunity for students to grow.
Yeah, and I think they're not really aware when they send those notes, it changes the trajectory for us as well. It's really encouraging to receive those.
Fantastic. Well, we're here today to talk a little bit about one of the wonderful things that's going on at the U of A, and that's you and your colleagues at the other two state institutions are providing something special for individuals who live in the state of Arizona. Could you talk to us about the Hearing Healthcare Assistance Project and how that came about and what you're doing with that?
Sure. So that really came about as a group effort. A lot of smaller projects like that have been going on in our state, but the folks at ASU had received a donation of new hearing aids and needed some help paying for services, which is where Arizona Commission for the Deaf and the Hard of Hearing got involved, and they received some state funding to pay for hearing healthcare services. And so what's going on is that folks are applying for assistance and receiving new hearing aids. That service is being provided. Healthcare is being paid for by a state agency.
And this isn't just seniors. This is people 21 years and up. So it's anybody that has a hearing affliction that is needy and needs some help paying for it or getting them taken care of.
Right. And that's a big issue, big healthcare issue. So Arizona is one of 21 states that Access does not cover hearing aids for adults, only for kiddos. So as soon as you're 22, then you're on your own. And so the great thing about this project is anybody over 21 can apply.
And they're able to garner as much as a couple thousand dollars to help them with the process, the individual themselves?
So we help them with the whole process. So rather than just, you know, giving funding to them, we help mm-hmm. them get in touch with a university clinic where they can get testing, get fit with hearing aids, receive rehabilitation throughout the whole process, kind of look at the whole person. So not just the device itself, but walk them through the whole thing.
What is the Arizona Commission on the Deaf and Hard of Hearing? Is that a state affiliated thing? Is that an independent group, or what is that?
So they're a state agency that helps provide a variety of assistance for hearing in our state. So they help individuals get in touch with amplified phones, alert systems that they need for their home, interpreting services, all kinds of things like that.
Is that funded through the state? Legislature then
it is.
Would give them funding through the health department, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And tell us about the affiliation with both your colleagues at Arizona State University and Northern Arizona University and how they blend into this project.
Yeah, so ASU was the kind of front runner for this project, but one of the things they ran into is a lot of patients throughout the state had transportation issue. So the hearing aid was available, healthcare finances were available, but they couldn't make it to the clinic. And so that's how U of A got involved, how NAU got involved, is just trying to find a closer clinic so that patients wouldn't have to travel as far.
So all three state universities then are providing that resource. So if an individual needs to come in and talk to somebody, they can go to one closer to their home, basically.
Right. So
they live in Northern Arizona, they go to NAU. If they're down here in Southern Arizona, they go to the U of A. Well, that's fantastic. What got you involved in hearing and speech and teaching and all that? What motivated you to do this? Because I have a little personal story I wanted to tell you.
So. Oh, so many things got me involved. But, you know, hearing somebody's personal story is how I really started seeking out the major itself and wanting to get involved, wanting to meet more folks that were hard of hearing and find out how I could help. So that's definitely how I began.
That's great. You know, my father was testifying in Washington, D.C., was on the witness stand, and the room started to spin on him, and he ended up, through the complications of the Asian flu, he lost the hearing in one of his ears, and for the rest of his life only had the hearing in one ear. So it was always something that he talked about, you know, especially if he was in a crowded restaurant or something. It was difficult for him to kind of get the trajectory of where the information was coming. So so being hard of hearing is something we've experienced in our family over the years. Okay, we'll take a break here. We'll come back and we'll ask you some more things about the hearing aid project, and looking forward to hearing about what your favorite Mexican restaurant is in Tucson.
All right.
Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm here with my good friend Sixto Molina. Hello, Sixto.
Ed, good morning. How are you?
I told you to jump in, so feel free to jump in here anytime. We're talking this morning with Amy Wheeler. She's an assistant clinical professor of audiology at the University of Arizona Speech, Language, and Hearing Sciences. That's out of the College of Science at the University of Arizona. And we're talking about a unique project where providing some hearing aids and services to those people age 21 or older in the state who... in conjunction with the Arizona Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, help get them the services and the equipment they need in order to mitigate hearing problems. So really a great project and so forth. So tell us a little bit about your involvement at the college. You said you've been there for about 2 years now. And what do you do every day?
Right. So I work in our on-campus clinic. I work with graduate students every day. So the clinic serves the hearing needs of locals here in Tucson. And students see the patient there, and I'm there to assist them and help them learn how to be an audiologist.
Great.
Amy, what is a point of contact, or who is a point of contact if somebody needs a hearing aid?
So their first point of contact maybe might be their primary care doctor to make sure there's no other health issue going on. Another point of contact might be ear, nose, and throat office. If they would like, then they can certainly be tested there at the U of A Speech and Hearing Sciences building in our clinic there on the first floor. If they're interested in applying for assistance for hearing aid, then they would reach out directly to Arizona Commission for the Deaf and the Hard of Hearing.
Okay. Are the local ear, nose, and throat specialists aware of your programs so that they can refer their patients to the U of A?
So this program is brand new. So, thank you so much for having me, because this is definitely part of the way we're getting the word out to everyone locally that it's available.
Okay. Awesome.
I was just wondering, how does a person even know that they need, I know they go to their primary care, a personal story. I was down in Rocky Point one time, and people were standing in a circle looking up in the sky and looking at a kite that was out, 16 rolls of string out there. And I'm looking up there, I don't see anything. And some guy standing next to me hands me his glasses. And for the first time I saw something, I was like, wow, how long have I been in this position? I was a young adult at the time. I was about 20 years old, and I've worn contacts ever since. I didn't know that I couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
How does a person know that their hearing is at such a place where they should probably investigate the possibility of getting some hearing aids?
Sure. I think everybody does have their own unique story, kind of like your kite story. But, folks are talking to you and it's really difficult to understand what they're saying, or you're asking for a repetition quite often, or you have a lot of kind of family arguments where they say, well, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're asking, what did you say? Like, it didn't seem clear what they said. Lots of symptoms like that.
And this can be a young person. It doesn't have to be somebody that's older that's lost their hearing over time. It could be someone that's like me, a young person, and for the first time you realize I'm not hearing things maybe the way I should be. So,
right. I think it's such a misconception that hearing loss is an issue that affects just older people. We're fitting hearing aids on anybody from 6 months old on up, and so it could be any age.
Mm-hmm. So this is a relatively new project, and of course funding for it is probably has a dead end at some point. So you're working on trying to have some long-term funding for this to keep this going. So what efforts are you doing in that regard, and what are you looking for in terms of sustaining the program over time?
Sure. So there's a couple of different avenues that we're looking at. So one thing, certainly if folks want to get involved, is we are in need of new hearing aids. And so if anybody wanted to donate new hearing aids to this project, it would serve local folks here in Tucson. We also have a group effort going on where we're trying to find out how to get access to cover hearing aids for folks that are over 21. And so if you're interested in that, certainly reach out to your state representatives and let them know that that's something you're interested in.
And you're beyond your clinical opportunities that you have for people who are specifically looking for some help with hearing aids. How do you do, you're talking about maybe the possibility of some classes that would come for people. Is that another part of the process?
Yeah, so part of the project already is to provide oral rehabilitation, where we have classes or sessions where we're teaching folks how to use communication strategies, how to make use of public services that are out there, how to connect their hearing aids to other features that are available in places like the movie theater, things like that. And so that's already going.
Well, about your own personal journey, how do you make the leap from the private industry of working in a hearing clinic with some doctors and so forth over to the University of Arizona, where the focus is on research and clinical work and so forth? How'd you make that personal leap from being out in the medical field over into the University of Arizona? Did you get recruited, or how did you get over there?
Yeah, well, certainly I got recruited because our audiology students go out and work different semesters in the community, kind mm-hmm. of learning on the job. And so someone reached out to me and said, hey, can a student come and work with you in your private practice office? Mm-hmm. So I was having a student work with me about once a week, and started to realize that was my favorite day.
Right.
Kind of went from there.
So what's your favorite thing about, other than the students, we talked about the students being really important, what's your favorite thing about working at the University of Arizona and the research that's being done on hearing and speech and all the things that are happening in your department, but also just in general and at the U of A? What is wondrous, since this is a theme? Amy Wheeler, who is a she's being a clinical professor of audiology, what does Amy Wheeler think about the University of Arizona and the opportunity of being there?
Well, what's wondrous to me is that when I started working there, everybody kept asking me, well, what are you interested in? Like, what would you like to do? What would you like to research, or what question to answer? And that the possibility is so open. Mm-hmm. There's so many avenues you could take to explore something new.
Right, Right. Well, one of the things we're wondering about, Sixto and I, when we were on the campaign trail, I think we visited every Mexican restaurant in the city of Tucson, did we not?
Yes, we did.
And so I was teasing Amy earlier that the previous show's host, Chris DeSimone, asks people what their favorite locally owned restaurant is. But do you have a favorite Mexican restaurant that you like to go to?
And I don't have a favorite, but it is a question that I ask all my patients that mm-hmm. are locals. You know, I see a lot of snowbirds, of course. So when I see a local person, I say, well, what's the best Mexican food in Tucson? And everybody always says something different.
Right.
But I was real excited to see that Mosaic Cafe is open again.
Oh, very good. Yeah. You know, there's a movement afoot in town to, it used to be called the 23 miles of best Mexican food. And now there's a movement in town. I just saw a t-shirt this morning of the best Mexican food in America. So, it'll be interesting how Tucson takes on that mantle and works through that. So if someone wanted to get involved, with you or with, Speech and Language and Hearing Sciences Department, or be involved in any way with the hearing aid project or whatever, can they contact you or contact the school, or what would they do to get involved, or to even have their doctor refer them to you?
Sure. Well, I'd love them to reach out to Arizona Commission for the Deaf and the Hard of Hearing directly. So their phone number is 602-532-3323, and just let them know that you're interested in the Hearing Healthcare Assistance Project.
And then they would be the ones that would steer them either to you folks or if, of course, if they're from Phoenix or Northern Arizona, they would go to the other two schools.
Right. You know, they're just aware of a lot of state opportunities and helping people find benefits available to them. That's where I'd like them to start.
What's the future for Amy Wheeler? What are you planning on doing over, you know, obviously administering this project, but what are you looking forward to do at the U of A over the next couple of years?
Oh, really looking forward to stay at the U of A for a long time. Got two daughters that I'm hoping will become Wildcats.
So. Wildcat for life, right?
Yeah. Right. So there's a lot of dreams associated with that.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, the University of Arizona is an absolute treasure for us that have grown. I'm born and raised in Tucson, and U of A has been a big part of my life, all of my life. And my kids as well, and my wife. I do have to admit that my wife did go to the U of A, but she also spent a year up north in that town north of us here.
She came back, though,
she did,
right?
Yeah, she came back. She knew that she was a collegiate swimmer, so she followed a coach up there for a year to swim collegiately. But university is a wonderful place, isn't it, Sixto?
It's a great place, but it also has a very important role that it plays here in Tucson, because during political season or when there's dissension amongst community members, you can always go to the U of A and as a family and cheer for the Wildcats, regardless of whatever your political affiliation is. And I saw that a few years ago during football season, where there was a lot of trash talking back and forth amongst the politicians and everybody else, but yet the same people would sit side by side at the U of A and root for the Wildcats, and I thought that was really cool. So it's a unifying force for this community, especially now that we have top-ranked football teams and basketball teams at the U of A.
Yeah, it's amazing how the university is well known across the country for its top 10 basketball program, its top 25 football program, its women's basketball and all the other sports. But it's amazing what's happening in colleges like the College of Science and what's happening in your department and what people are doing to make things great. It's a wonder. So Amy Wheeler, we really appreciate you being here today and telling us about the new hearing aid project at the University of Arizona. And
sure.
We look forward to hearing the results and how you're doing with that in the future. Sixto, thanks for being here today. We appreciate you too. So we'll take a break now, and we'll be back in just a minute with the second half of Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is the Monday edition. This is the day that we celebrate wonder at the University of Arizona. And on tomorrow's show, we have General Ted Maxwell will host and have Senator Mark Kelly. and SALC board member Rob Draper from Riley Chevrolet. On Wednesday, my good friend Grant Kruger will host, and he'll have Josh Jacobson and the Tucson Crime Free Coalition and a new candidate for the Pima County Attorney. On Thursday, our host is Tom Moulton, and he'll have guests from Old Tucson. And then I'll be back again on Friday with Russell True, another good friend from White Stallion Ranch. And Dale Lopez will tell us about the Ross Scrooge Cougar Basketball Classic coming up in February. Speaking of basketball, today is the Martin Luther King Basketball Tournament and Classic down at McHale Center. McHale Center is a wonderful place to play and be involved. And with us this morning is someone that's had a little bit of experience with that. Welcome to Jump in Tucson, Samantha Sam Thomas, former player for the University of Arizona basketball team. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
You are a wonderful person. I just have to tell the story that when I first kind of met you, you have all the accolades of basketball. It's amazing when you look at your stat sheet of all the things you've done, both in your collegiate and your professional career. I sent you an email that said, congratulations, and I was congratulating on you, your 4.0 at the University of Arizona and your fantastic academic scholastic record that you have. And I got invited by Dr. Thad Dugan to come speak to your class, your master's class. And I walked in the door and I looked at you and I said, you don't return your emails. And you looked at me and said, what? I do too. And from then we've been pen pals ever since. So I just really appreciate all you do. Could you just tell us a little bit about how Sam Thomas got to the University of Arizona and how you got to the basketball team and how that all came about? And we'll talk a little bit about your 5-year career there.
Yeah, and now I do try and respond to every single email that I see. but yeah, I grew up playing basketball. I have 3 other siblings who all play basketball. My dad used to coach, so I knew that basketball was going to be in my life for a long time. So I moved to the West Coast about my junior year of high school. I hadn't heard of Arizona, probably had never watched a game unless it was in the NCAA tournament. Because I'm from the Midwest. And so I, one of my AAU coaches at the time knew Adia, and he was like, Adia, you have to recruit Sam. Like, she's a great kid. And so Adia called me and invited me on a visit to go to Arizona. And so at the time, I was a little bit hesitant, and I was like, well, I'm just going to go because, you know, Adia sounded really nice, and I really trust my AAU coach and what he has to say. And I went on my visit to Arizona. I absolutely loved it. I loved the campus. I loved all the girls on the team. Just talking with Adia and how kind and how nice she was and very truthful and honest. After that visit, I canceled all my other visits. And I told my parents, I said, it was like midnight. And I went in their room and I said, I think I want to go to Arizona. And the next day, I called Adia and let her know.
That is awesome. What a great story. And a tribute to Adia Barnes. She is a fantastic coach and is doing great work along with her counterpart, Tommy Lloyd, over on the men's side. The basketball powerhouse that Arizona has become over the last few years, starting with Lute Olson, has just been fantastic. You know, you have racked up quite a bit. You know, you scored 1,382 points in your career, 5 years at the University of Arizona. You were a defensive specialist. You were all Pac-12, all defensive. You were freshman accolades, sophomore accolades, 5-year starter. You were fantastic. What are some of the great memories you have? Of course, taking the team to the Final Four. What are some of the great memories you have of being part of the University of Arizona women's basketball team?
Yeah, there are so many. Obviously, as you mentioned, making it to the national championship game. I always say one of my favorite on-court memories was, I believe it was my junior year, and we were playing Stanford at home, and they were ranked number 4 at the time. And I think we did sell out McHale, or we were very close, and it was a red out. Everyone was dressed in red. It was like a sea of red. It was so cool. And we ended up beating Stanford. And that was the first time in my career that we ever beat Stanford. And I think it was the first time in over 10 years that we had beat a top 5 ranked program. And so just having that high was just amazing, and having everyone support us. I think, you know, the next day a lot of people were coming up to us, you know, at the stores and at restaurants saying how much that win meant to them just as Tucson fans. So that was definitely one of my favorite moments. And then just anytime I get to interact with the fans, whether it's community service or after games, doing camps, just having those one-on-one relationships with the fans who have followed me throughout my whole 5 years and still to this day I'm good friends with and keep in touch. I think those are some of my favorite times there.
That's fantastic. We're talking with Sam Thomas, a standout University of Arizona women's basketball player for 5 years and took them to the national championship game. You know, Sam, it is pretty amazing what the program has done and the number of young people that have been through the program and what Coach Barnes has done. If you were, you know, going to consult a little girl and her family who might have sights on trying to get into collegiate athletics and so forth, what was some advice that you'd give to some young girls thinking about the possibility of becoming the next Sam Thomas?
I would first just say keep working hard. I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize how important it is to just work at it. It doesn't have to be every day, but just continuing to do things that you're not good at. And one thing I always say is to make it hard for the coach to take you off the court. For me, you know, I wasn't scoring 30 points a game, but I was communicating out there. I was playing defense. I was consistent. And I think that's why I was able to play so many minutes, because, you know, I tried to keep the team together as much as possible. So that's something to keep in mind for someone who's trying to play collegiate basketball. It's not all about points and, you know, if you can shoot the ball from half court. It's about doing something special and that's unique to you, that's different from everybody else out there.
That's fantastic. You know, you are such a role model for so many young people. You know, today at McHale Center, we have 9 games being played by high school teams, and 4 of them are women's games. And those young ladies are playing on the same court that you graced, which is a great tribute to them and a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, and you came when you were here in school. You and Kate and a couple of others came to the MLK Classic and said hello to our fans and did that on your own. I appreciate you participating and being supportive of Coaches for Charity and the MLK Basketball Classic. Today is a good day for basketball. It's very appropriate that we have you here. If you'll stick around for just a minute, we'll go to a break and then we'll come back. We're talking with Sam Thomas from Arizona women's basketball game. When we come back, we'll talk to her a little bit about her time with the Phoenix Mercury, and then we'll talk a little bit about how NC2A and basketball is changing just a little bit. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is the Monday edition. This is the Wonder edition. We celebrate the wonderful stories that are happening at the University of Arizona. When I think about my friends down at the U of A, I've been there for 34 years as an instructor in the Eller College. I think about my friends on the football team, the Ricky Hundleys and the Chuck Cecils and the guys that I've been friends with for years. But I have to tell you, one person who's just absolutely amazing is our friend Sam Thomas, who is well documented, fantastic person and a great athlete at the University of Arizona. So welcome back, Sam.
Thank you.
Hey, after you completed your career at the University of Arizona and taking us to the national championship game and bringing a nice focus onto Tucson, you got the opportunity to go up north and play with the Phoenix Mercury. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience? You know, there are thousands of kids that play college ball, and not many of them make it to the big show, and you were able to do that. If you could just share your insights on how wonderful that was to be with the Phoenix Mercury.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And for someone to go, like myself, undrafted, and to even make the team was a huge accomplishment. There's very limited spaces in the WNBA, 12 teams, 12 girls on every roster. So I was very grateful to be able to make the team, and it was one of the best experiences ever. Just to be able to learn from players like Diana Taurasi, Sophie Cunningham, Skylar Diggins. And then during that time, Brittany Griner was not with the team, unfortunately, but being able to see the whole even the NBA, WNBA, the entire world just band around her and our team and show their support and make ways and to be a part of that. It was just truly amazing and special. And it's a moment in my life that I will never forget. And I'm so glad that I got to be on the same court as some of the best women's basketball players ever.
I know this isn't about me, but I do have to tell you that I watched a lot of Phoenix Mercury games just to watch Sam Thomas play. It was a joy and a pleasure to watch you play. Hey, you know, the NCAA and ESPN just came out this week with an announcement that they're going to invest $900 million and have women's sports be more prevalent on the ESPN networks and to showcase women's sports. Your perspective on that, you know, you're a trailblazer for the University of Arizona women and getting into the pros and so forth. What's your perspective on that new thing? And maybe even to tap in a little bit to the NIL program, which you kind of were at the front end of and maybe didn't get to benefit as so much as what's happening now, but that whole name, image, and likeness and the ability for players to benefit from their athletic ability and their bringing prominence to like what you did to the University of Arizona. So a little bit about NCAA and ESPN agreement and then maybe a little bit about NIL.
Yeah, well, I definitely have to say to the NCAA televising women's game, that's about time. I think
right. It's
been long overdue. We have great players, a lot of girls coming out of the draft, you know, Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, Angel Reese, just a lot of great talent. And I think now they're starting to get recognized around the world, which is why I think this push is being made for more money to be invested, because people are actually interested now and they want to see. And I know before, you know, women's games are kind of aired during a majority of the men's like bigger games where a lot of people want to watch that. So, you know, we're kind of pushed to the side or people don't get to watch as much. So very glad that we're making the steps to have more equality on that side. And then with NIL, I think it goes hand in hand. I think people are able to see their athletes more because, you know, brands are wanting to work with them and promote them and allow them to be seen. And I think it's, you know, there's a lot of money in sports. And so I think, you know, players do deserve to be paid. Is it a lot of money? Yes. But I think that as long as the kids are sticking to their schoolwork and going to practices on time and still doing everything that they have been doing in the past, I think NIL is a great thing for them to benefit off. You know, it's their name. They're bringing money into the school. They're getting recruits to these schools by just how great they are. So I think that it's a great opportunity for them to be paid and to make money off their name, image, and likeness.
And you bring up a good point. You know, I'm a faculty member at the Eller College and have taught maybe 10,000 students over the last 34 years. And, you know, that commitment to academic excellence, that goes a long way because, and so does the NIL, because some of these students, you know, their career may last just a year or two or three or four or maybe 10. And they've got to make their money while they can, because then they go on to be school teachers and coaches and other things, because just by definition, you can't stay in the WNBA for the rest of your life. You've got to move on. So what's Sam Thomas doing now? What are you up to, and what are your plans for the near future?
Yeah, so I work for a sports agency now based out of New York. It's called Lyft Sports Management. We work with men's basketball, so I kind of tapped into the other side. Yeah, we work with high school all the way up to professionals. So I do client servicing for them. So pretty much, you know, build relationships with the families, the guys, make sure that they're, you know, happy, taken care of, because they put so much work into what they're doing off the court. So I want to make sure that, you know, all their off the court duties and responsibilities are taken care of the best that I can.
I can't think of anybody better to mentor young men than you, and the great example you set on the floor of McHale and up at the Mercury, but also just your personality. I have to embarrass you in front of everybody. I happened to be at the Arizona Sands Club, and the president of the university was sitting next to me, and we were talking about things, and your name came up, and I told him what a wonderful person you are, and he told me that he has been with hundreds of athletes over his time as administrator at a major university, and that you rank right up there as one of the most special people that he knows. So kudos to you that the president even knew who you were. But it's true. It's true. Well, Sam Thomas, we appreciate you. We appreciate what you did for the University of Arizona women's game and brought prominence to the Diaz program. And we're going to have Coach Barnes on here before too long. Again, I think it's appropriate that we're talking to you on a day when we have the Martin Luther King Jr. Basketball Classic being played right now at McHale Center. The teams will be, 9 games will be played today all the way through 10 p.m. tonight. So if you're not doing anything today, stop on by McHale Center. It's $10 for adults and $6 for students. And of course, if you're interested in making a donation to the scholarship fund, we certainly would take any comers. Well, Sam, well, we really appreciate you. I want to just finish with one last thing, and that is when I first met you and first had my first conversation with you, it was about your 4.0 and you going on to your master's program and your commitment to your academic education. Tell me about that, and why did Sam Thomas pursue an academic scholastic record that's as powerful as her athletic prowess, and what your commitment to your education is?
Oh, thank you. I owe a lot of it to my parents. They always, growing up, made sure that I had my homework done. School came first, and they made sure that I was aware of that. So a lot of credit to them. And then I think just going into college, my main goal was to get a degree. You know, national championship game was amazing, but my main thing was to get that degree. And so once I was able to get it in 3 years and move on to my master's, it was really important, because I know sports isn't going to last me forever. No matter how long I play, you know, 1 year or 20 years, it's going to end at some point. And so I know that I needed something to rely on, which is why, you know, got my degree, got my master's, made so many connections as I could, because, you know, one day those are going to come in handy. And, you know, here they are now coming in handy.
Right. Fantastic. Well, I hope you come to Tucson and visit soon. And when you do, let us know. We'll have you back on Jump in Tucson. And the women's team is doing fantastic here at early in the Pac-12 season, and they've got some games this weekend. So we look forward to the continued success of the women's basketball team. Much of it can be attributed to the legacy that you and your teammates brought to the team with excellence on the court and off the court too. So Sam, thank you so much, and we will look forward to seeing you thrive and become the best agent that the professional basketball has ever seen, because that's the kind of person you are.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for all the kind words.
Well, fantastic. That's Sam Thomas. She is a former University of Arizona women's basketball player. She took us to the final national championship game. She was a 5-year starter, went on to the Phoenix Mercury. She's now an agent helping other young people continue their dream of being a major basketball force in the community. Tomorrow we have General Ted Maxwell, Wednesday Grant Kruger, Thursday we have Tom Moulton. I'll be back this coming Friday for some interesting discussions with my good friend Russell True from White Stallion Ranch. We're celebrating wonder from the University of Arizona. Again, no better person to celebrate the great things happening at the U of A and continue to happen than our good friend Sam Thomas. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is The Voice, 10:30 a.m. We'll see you next week.